Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
And we welcome you into the Friday edition. It is finally a Friday. Gwen and Chris on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Short get together today. That's because the Padres are in Cincinnati and game time shortly after 4 o'clock. So that means Sam Levitt will be kicking us out of the studio about an hour from right now for the Padre pregame show. But until then, we've got some things to discuss. Tony Gwynn Jr. Is in Cincinnati at the Great American Ballpark. Chris Ello, Matt Scraby here at the Odyssey Palace Studios in San Diego. And as we discussed yesterday, Tony, today is officially the halfway point of the 2025 season. It seems a little bit longer in coming than I expected. Like we said, it seems like this team has been through so many things already, but a little milestone, and hopefully they can mark the occasion with a win tonight and get this road trip rolling.
A win would be nice. As my partner said, we're almost done now.
Halfway. Yeah, right. You're headed back home. You're on the downward trajectory.
Exactly.
Yeah.
No, halfway mark. Reds, we haven't been here in a while. I think last May is the last time we saw these guys in action, because we played them like we played the Cubs last year, where we played them really early and like back-to-back series,
yeah,
and then we just kind of forgot about them. And so first time back here, team, although they lost their last game, have been playing some pretty decent baseball. They're part of a National League Central that is I think surprising in a lot of ways. I don't know that anybody thought this many teams would be competitive, but that is the way it is, has kind of shaken out. And six games behind the Cubbies, the same position the Padres are behind the Dodgers at this point. So certainly a series that the Padres will have to come in and play well.
Yeah, the Reds are five games over 500, and they're at the halfway point, I believe, already, 43 yes. and 38. So they're actually kicking off officially their second half tonight. But you're right, Tony. If you would have told people in Cincinnati that they would be five games over 500 right now, first of all, they wouldn't have believed you, because the Reds were not supposed to be, you know, good this year. And secondly, five games over 500, you think, would have them a lot closer to first place. As a matter of fact, they're not even they're in fourth place. There's three teams ahead of them right. in the Central. So it is a surprising division. But I don't think we should be that surprised that the Reds have a good squad this year, because I thought they had a good squad last year. They just didn't know what to do with it. And, you know, when you got all kinds of young guys like Ellie De La Cruz and Matt McClain and Spencer Steer and, you know, Christian Encarnacion Strand. He was hurt last year, but and a young pitching staff. We're going to see Andrew Abbott tomorrow. Don't look
who
now. This
us,
guy's got
who
about
gives
a
us
one,
fits, by the way.
Yeah, right. Well, he's got a 1.7 something ERA this year as well.
Yeah, that's in general, but against us, he's exceptionally
and he's exceptionally good against the Padres. So you're going to see Abbott. You're going to see Lodolo. But anyway, my point being, to me, it's not surprising with this talent that Terry Francona, one of the best managers of recent vintage, you know, could bring these guys together and have them playing well.
I think this is what Terry is, why he's unique in this game. He has the ability to coach a veteran team. We saw him do that in like the likes of Boston.
Right.
But we've also seen him be able to coach young guys in his stint in Cleveland. As that turned over and they had more young guys there, he was kind of the one that fostered that in. You know, I remember they once had Lindor, Ramirez, all in the same boat. That was Terry that was kind of guiding that ship there. So he's been able to show that he can manage older guys, he can manage young guys, and this is kind of the perfect scenario for him to walk into, right? It's a young group that has major league experience. You know, De La Cruz has been up now. This is his fourth year, I think. A guy like McClain, who has dealt with injury but has had some success at the big league level. Seems like Will Benson is starting to play a little bit larger a role in their outfield. And so it's a young team that now has the guidance of a dude who's got just a wealth of knowledge that he can help these young guys. And I think that's a part of why they're five games over 500. If you said they were going to be 500, five games over 500 at the beginning of the season, they might have thought they would be in first place or somewhere along those lines. But unfortunately, the rest of the division got better at the same time. And so, again, this is a young team still trying to, you know, figure it out in a tougher division. But it's certainly a team that the Padres are going to have to, as I said, play their best baseball against.
As we head into the game tonight, Tony, and this road trip and what ostensibly begins the second half of the season, I think, you know, one of the biggest concerns that a lot of the fans have, and I think people that have watched this team have, is are the Padres going to get it together and hit? And I don't think we're going to be able to answer that question by the end of the weekend, but the Cincinnati ballpark is an excellent hitter's ballpark, and maybe this can get some guys going. You're also going to Philadelphia, which is another good hitter's ballpark. The problem with Philadelphia is they've got pitchers that make it tough to hit there. You know, what do you think it's going to take? There can't be a change in philosophy. I mean, at the beginning of the season, we love the fact that there was the carryover, you know, from last year and the plan that they had last year and bringing it into this year. So I don't know what you can do coaching-wise, and as we've talked before, you can't do effort because if you try harder, then it's really hard to hit. I'm sure they still believe that they're going to hit at some point and guys are going to put it all together.
I'm sorry, I was just seeing Terry walk out and it looked like he was up here looking for Don so he can bully him some more.
Oh, Francona. Kind of,
yeah, but I don't know that he was actually knew exactly where to look. I don't know that there. I mean, listen, that is a worry that I think rests in the fans' lap mostly. These guys, I don't think they don't think they're going to hit. Hitting is hard in general, right? And we saw a team last year like kind of be inconsistent and then figure it out and get going. And I think in some ways that's kind of what's happening now. I mean, it got off to a great start, and that's always fun and exciting and relaxing, if you will, having seeing your offense play as well as it did early. But, you know, with injuries, guys coming, getting in and out of rhythm and being hot, being cold, I think that's just kind of part of it, especially early in the season. I think as you get into the season, typically you get into that second half, guys struggle, but it usually kind of fixes itself. It's not a long, prolonged struggle a lot of times in the second half because guys are a little bit more adept into making the adjustment that's necessary and kind of know what adjustment needs to be made. And so I just think, listen, will they get back to the level they were at the beginning of the season? I don't know. I think we got to kind of let the season play out, but they certainly, none of the talent's changed. So, you know, I don't think that it's out of the question that they do get back to that level again. It just, I think that they were so good early in terms of the at-bats, and I think when they hit that little rut there and you started to see the pressing and you started to see them not have the same type of at-bats, I just think that's had a little bit longer lasting impact than maybe we would have liked.
Yeah, I'm going to stay with what I said a few weeks ago, Tony, and I don't think you were on that afternoon, but I said, to me, the two most important things going forward are the return to, you know, health and the return to production of Fernando and Jackson Merrill. Because I believe Manny is going to be Manny, and of course he is. I believe Arise, who's starting to pick it up now, is going to climb back over 300 like he always does. I believe Xander continue to be complementary pieces to this offense that are going to give you, you know, some big hits and some big games. But I think for them to get where they got to go, Jackson Merrill, Fernando Tatis have to be great. And Kevin Acey had an article today talking about the fact that last year when the Padres went on their second half run, it was Merrill and it was Tatis who both had over a 900 OPS the last couple of months that, along with Manny, kind of led the way. So I'm expecting something similar to happen this year, or at least I'm hoping.
Yeah, I'm about to say hope is probably a bit expecting that. And you got to remember, Jackson had a remarkable first season. And I mean, when I say remarkable, I mean it was a really good rookie season, almost rookie of the year good, in a year where he was up against a guy who typically would have won walking away. He actually made that a thing. That's how good of an offensive season he had. If he falls a little bit short of that, I still think the offense can be good. And the same goes for Tati. I don't know that he's going to get back. I would love to see him get back to where he was in April.
Yeah.
Because that would be more than what we would need at this point, I think, offensively. But if he falls a little short of that, just getting back to, you know, where he was the second half of last season would work too. So
yeah,
I have a lot of trust in the offense. We did our biggest worries.
Yeah, right.
Yesterday, it's on the other side for me, and that has more to do with injury than it does anything else.
Yeah, and here's the other thing about the offense. Say what you will, and again, this is something Kevin pointed out in his article today. The Padres, by a wide margin, lead Major League Baseball in wins in games in which they score three or fewer runs. Padres have won 14 games this year scoring three or fewer runs. Most teams are in single digits in that category. So, you know, the pitching has kept them in there. The defense keeps them in there. The bullpen keeps them in there. And, you know, I still like our chances going forward.
Real quick, that's what I like about the team. It's not one – they're not dependent on one thing to actually win ball games. As you said, they need their defense, they need their pitching, and they need their offense. And for a good portion of time, now the pitching has supported the offense, whereas I think vice versa, early on, the Padres were able to put some runs up and – it was a little bit easier for the bullpen to manage it. They've just been in a lot of one-run games, which means your bullpen's going to get used a lot. And so you just hope that the offense can pick it up a tick, and that'll be a big difference, I think.
Yeah, all right. Getting ready for the second half of the season. But before we do that, we got to officially finish the first half. That will happen tonight with the Padres facing an old friend. Nick Martinez will be out there for the Cincinnati Reds. Dylan Cease for the Padres. Pregame show's coming up shortly. Our Friar Friday interview with Brian Hoying of the Padres is also coming up shortly. We're underway. Gwen and Chris, happy to have you with us on 97.3.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's RADIO15 for 15% off today.
The Fan. I don't know. I'm kind of enjoying that little. It sounds like a tuba almost.
This is a weird one that I picked.
It is a little weird, so I didn't want to, you know, I just wanted to listen to it. I didn't want to come on the air. 219 is the time. Gwen and Chris. Tony, of course, is in Cincy. You'll hear our interview with Brian Hoying, Friar Friday interview coming up at the bottom of the hour. Padres and Reds, Sam Levitt kicks us out of the studio here at about 3 o'clock. So we don't have a whole lot of time, but a lot going on. And, you know, look, Padres lineup is out, and Xander Bogaerts, good news, he's back in there after sitting out a day with the shoulder issue. I guess we should give you the lineup because it is kind of interesting now, right? You got Arise back leading off again, and you got Manny hitting second again, and you got Merrill third, Fernando. No. So, and then after that, Sheets, Bogaerts, Cronenworth. Trenton Brooks gets the DH nice. Slot tonight, and Martin Maldonado, who, by the way, it's going to sound mean, already hit his home run this month, earlier this week. I know, he's got four, so does Diaz. There's been 4 months. I feel like each guy's good for about one home run a month.
I will say...
I just do. I mean, you know, it's
Martin Maldonado is already by far and away hitting better than he was last year.
What's he hitting this year? What's his batting average?
I mean,
come on.
Don't exactly know, but is it near 200?
Near 200? I don't know. Is that good?
Yes. For Martin Maldonado, that's what we thought he was going to give us. We thought he was going to give us 160. He's got a 189 batting average.
189. So he's way above expectations. Anyway, Padres.
He's
and
had
Reds.
A hit in three of his last five
All
games,
right,
Chris.
Martin. Go get him, babe.
Sometimes you bother me.
I told you, I'm being mean. I said it ahead of time, I'm being mean. I said I'm being mean ahead of time.
Okay.
But there's just there's no other way to couch it, you know, the between Diaz. I mean, Diaz had two hits the other day, right? So I should be excited, but I'm not normally excited when either guy comes to the plate. First of three weekend series. You got Nick Martinez on the other side tonight. Tomorrow on Sunday, you'll have two lefties, and they both. What's the word? Shove against the Padres. Abbott on Saturday, Lodolo on Sunday.
Do we remember how Nick Lodolo made us all go crazy last year when he faced the Padres? Because they were, I'm going back to this game, he struck out 11 in this game.
Yeah, he dominated.
Gave up one hit in seven innings.
Yeah, that was Lodolo last year.
Yeah.
And Abbott... I don't know that Abbott has enough innings to qualify. You know, for the ERA title, you have to average one inning pitched for each game.
Oh,
so there's a bunch of guys that are starters, but nowadays, you know, they take starters out of the game so early that a lot of them don't qualify for the. You know, for the actual ERA title.
Well, he's 7-1 in 13 starts.
That's what I mean. Abbott's been incredible. And he's got a 1.79 ERA, which that would lead baseball if he qualified. Right now he's got 75 innings. The Reds have played 81 games, so he doesn't quite qualify. But anyway, Abbott and Lodolo coming up. Hate to do it to you, Nick Martinez, because I'm a big fan, but we got to get him tonight. Got to get him tonight.
You know, he hasn't been great.
Not this year. He's 4-8, and he's been coming out of the bullpen. Last two outings were out of the bullpen, and back in the starting role tonight. All right, earlier today, manager Mike Shildt joined Ben and Woods. I know that's something Mike looks great forward to.
I think
each and every
does.
Friday.
I love Ben and Woods.
We love listening to it. I'm just saying. I mean,
I don't think any manager really wants to do any sort of interview, period.
Once a week?
Yeah.
But you know what?
He's not doing it once a week anymore, so...
Oh, he doesn't do it.
No,
every
it's like a management report.
Oh, I see.
So it could be
AJ
Preller, it could be Grubner, it could be Josh Stein.
I mean, with all you know, look, Mike Shildt is. You're right. He's like most managers, and
he's
got to
be working on the lineup.
He's right. He's got a lot on his mind. He's got a lot to do, and there's pressure that goes along with this. Right? You got to keep winning games, and you know, keeping the team going. However. I've always felt, and maybe it's just because I'm in the media business, but But I've always felt if you want to, as a weekly interview, something that's basically kind of set up through the team and the fact that we're the flagship station of the Padres.
Yes.
If Mike Schilt wanted to, he could look forward to it and have a lot of fun with it every week.
I don't know why he got into this.
I'm just saying, or he could get into it and go, eh, gotta do my interview.
Oh, no. He gives his all.
He does. He makes some funny lines.
He does.
He's on with Ben and Woods. So I think he's warmed to the occasion.
Yeah.
In his second season with the Padres and with Ben and Woods. The manager's report is refreshed by EcoWater SoCal. So here's what Mike Schilt said today about one of the most important topics that I think there is. You can talk about, are they going to hit? You can talk about, you know, the struggles, this, there, you know, sometimes up and down the bullpen, whatever you want to say. The bullpen, you know, being used too much. You talk about, you know, this guy struggling, that guy struggling. If Yu Darvish doesn't come back soon, first of all, I'm going to just lose it because I'm so tired of waiting for him. You are too. Don't be.
I'm past the tired of waiting for him.
Now you're past that.
Yeah, you're going through the phase that I was in about 2 weeks ago.
Anyway, here's the latest on the status of a hopefully soon recovering Yu Darvish.
Not anything concrete about the penciling in, but we are getting closer to putting together, you know, a plan that is getting him back. You know, he had a good outing, came and traveled with us after that outing, 3 innings, 51 pitches. Felt better even in third than he felt in the first and second. So very favorable. We'll evaluate after yesterday's day off, see where he's at from a catch play standpoint, figure out what the next, bullpen looks like and then what it looks like beyond that. You know, whether he goes to Arizona for a simulated game or just what that looks like. So, but he is getting closer. You know, the 51 pitches is a big one. You know, he hadn't been to that number in a while and, you know, he recovers well, moves forward and now we're bumping into getting him to a place where, you know, he can come back and pitch for us here in the big leagues for, you know, 80 bullets or so.
All right.
80 pitches is a lot.
Yeah. When?
I know.
There was no timetable.
He said that they're getting close to being able to do that.
I got to be honest with you. And I'm not making fun of Mike Schilt. I don't think they really know. And that's why every single time Mike Schilt is asked this question, which is often, he has to kind of dance around
it. It's every single day he's asked this question.
And he has to dance around it because he doesn't have an answer.
Because Yu Darvish is the only one who has the answer.
You're right. I just keep going back to our friend Kirk Kenny's line because I think it was the best line of the week when he texted us and asked what Yu Darvish... Does anybody know Yu Darvish's
record in sim games?
That was a great line. And, you know, of course, Mike Schilt said in there, well, we don't know. We might send him back to Arizona for another couple of simulated games. So I don't know how many simulated games somebody has to pitch before they can, you know, play.
I don't know. But as we said yesterday on the roundtable, we do trust that Yu Darvish is not just stealing a paycheck. He's actually, you know, trying to get back and doing everything that he can to pitch again. But, I mean, if I'm the Padres, I kind of have to go... I kind of have to feel like I'm going this season without Yu Darvish. I have to plan for that.
I don't think you do. I think he's going to come back.
Wait, you just said you don't... Okay.
No, I think he's coming back. I just get driving me crazy, you know, waiting. That's all. The guy that I'm more concerned about coming back is Michael King.
Yes.
We keep hearing that Michael King has had a couple of nice days here, or week or so, in terms of a little bit of a breakthrough, some of the pressure maybe relieved on that shoulder nerve. But I still, every time they refer to Michael King, I still hear no guarantee he's going to pitch this season. And that's the one that really worries me.
That does worry me too.
All right.
That is worrisome for sure.
All right. Maybe they should have our next guest start.
Maybe.
Brian Hoying. He started 10 games with the Marlins back in the day before the Padres acquired him in the Tanner Scott trade. By the way,
he was like the throw-in, and he's ending up...
Yeah, I was going to say, people who say that trade, you know, is kind of one-sided because we don't have Tanner Scott anymore. Well, we do still have Brian Hoying. The Marlins, the guys they got, has anybody heard from Adam Mazur? Has anybody even heard from Robbie Snelling?
No.
Those are the guys that the Marlins got. So
what about Siwoo Kim?
Yeah, exactly.
Wait, was that his name?
I don't know. But yeah, the other guy.
Woosuck Go. That's what his...
Oh, Woosuck Go. That yes. didn't work out too well.
No, it didn't.
At all. But Ryan Hoying worked out well, and we'll have him next when Gwen and Chris resumes. Back at you at 2:35 the time. Our Friar Friday interview with Brian Hoying coming up. And Sam Levitt coming up with the Padre pregame show at the top of the hour. Then Padres and Reds, Los Rojos. Scraby's old hometown team.
They're not my ready hometown to, team.
Yeah, you know, you're a big Reds
fan.
I know you're a big Reds fan over there.
I went to 10
closet
or 15,
Reds fan.
Stop. I went to 10 or 15 games while I was living there. It was a fun play. I mean, the stadium is kind of boring, but Reds games are fun.
Reds games are fun.
Yeah, but the stadium's boring.
Stadium's ho-hum. Really? The Great American Ballpark, no good?
It's just a stadium. It just doesn't really have any character to
really?
Me. I guess, like,
let me just ask you. Okay, when you say that, what is the character you would describe of Petco Park? Because everybody loves Petco Park. I do, too. I'm just saying,
what would you say? I mean, it's like a destination. There's a bunch of different food places you could go to. There's a bunch of different bars that you could watch the game at. At the stadium, you have Gallagher Square. They don't really have anything like that in Cincinnati. They have the boat in center field, which is cool.
I love that.
But I will say this about...
I'd like to see Manny or Fernando maybe visit the boat this weekend
yes,
with
me
a couple
too.
Of shots.
At least two or three times, please.
All right, Padres and Reds shortly. One couple of quick baseball notes for you baseball fans. The Reds activated Austin Hayes, outfielder, and Jake Fraley to the IL. So Austin Hayes will be available. I'm sure that scares the daylights out of the Padres pitching staff, but he'll be back. This was the big one, though. The Mets lose starting pitcher Griffin Canning, probably for the year. Actually, not even probably.
He's gone.
He's gone the rest of the year. Ruptured left Achilles. Ruptured. Yikes.
The video shows it, too. Like, it's one of those things where you can see on video where the calf just goes...
And correct me if I'm wrong. This was after he followed through on a pitch, right?
Yeah, he just kind of planted to go look where the pitch was and happened. That's how it happens.
That's not how it should happen. I what is going on? The kid from Milwaukee who's like 18 years old.
Mizorowski.
He couldn't finish the fifth inning. He cramped up. Ruptures his Achilles throwing a pitch. I'm missing it.
I think Achilles tendon injuries are injuries that you just cannot predict.
I guess. I've never had one.
I've known a couple people that have torn their Achilles. My dad did.
Best of luck to Griffin Canning. Mets are back in first place in the East, a half game ahead of the hopefully struggling Phillies. Phillies scored one run in three games at Houston this week. Houston's a good hitter's ballpark, but the Phillies' bats went ice cold. And I mention that because the Padres will be playing the Phillies next week in Philadelphia. All right, one quick thing. SDFC is back home tomorrow night. I'm sorry, they're on the road, but they're back in action tomorrow night.
Yes.
They're in Dallas. 5:30 start. I think you got to start paying attention to this team if you haven't already been. And, you know, they get the big win in Vancouver Wednesday. The kid from San Diego, Alaski, scores four goals.
That's pretty crazy.
That's insane for any soccer match, is it not?
Yes, it is.
So, Alaski's the big story right now. And, you know, I think if you're any kind of soccer fan, you should be aware of the fact that he, Alaski, was on with Braden Suprenant just a little while ago. If you missed it, go to our website at 973thefansd.com and, you know, catch that interview. I mean, this is a great story right now. It's our expansion team, and, you know, they're having an incredible season. There's 15 games left, Scrabe. So, you know, are they going to stay at the top? I think they are. I mean, they may not. I don't know if Vancouver may win. I don't know who's going to win the conference, you know, the division title. But I'm pretty convinced at this point that we're going to be right there.
Yeah, they're not.
If we
it doesn't
don't
seem
win
like
it.
They're going to fall apart.
No, we're not going away. And, you know, we had the guy from the MLS play-by-play yesterday, Jake
Zivin.
And I was willing to say, you know, well, look, Vancouver was missing a lot of players the other night. And, you know, maybe SDFC took advantage of that. He was quick to point out that SDFC was missing 9 guys themselves. So we beat them without even our Chucky didn't even play.
Yeah.
Chucky Lozano.
Yeah.
So we had some key guys out as well. I'm really starting to get, kind of excited about this. So, check out that interview with the young guy from San Pasquale High School. And now starring in the MLS with a big game the other night. I think he scored 9 goals or something in 6 matches.
That's
been incredible.
Insanity.
I know. So
in a sport where it's 1-0, 2-0, he scored.
Some teams
don't
score
4 goals.
I know. Some teams take like a month and a half to score 4 goals.
This is true.
He did it in 12 minutes. Anyway, Braden's interview is there for you.
I gotta talk to Frank about not trying so hard on these interviews and stuff because he's doing a pretty good job and he's making me look bad.
Oh, you mean in the friendly competition between
yes.
him and you?
Yeah, friendly competition,
he
for sure.
He got Alaski on, you did not.
I tried.
What you're trying to tell everybody?
I tried, but Frank got through first.
Frank beat you to it.
He said he was watching the game, and after he scored his 3rd goal, immediately went and tried to get him on.
That's
so.
What producers should do.
Well, I don't have Apple TV or with MLS Plus, Chris.
You couldn't watch the match?
I couldn't watch it.
I know, that's my big complaint. You know that, but I'm going to root for the MLS to start making some more of these games available for all of us so that we can, more closely follow this team. I did learn something new today, though, Scrabe, about soccer. I like to try to learn something all the time. I looked up the rest of the schedule for SDFC because I wanted to see how many games do they have left, blah, blah, blah. Well, they don't have 15 games left. And they don't even have 15 matches left. You know what they call them?
Friendlies?
Fixtures.
What?
Yeah. It says it right here.
What does that mean?
On the ESPN.com website, it says SDFC, and they call them fixtures. And if you call that up, it shows you the rest of the schedule. But it's actually a fixture.
Fixtures.
Yeah.
When I think of fixture, I think of like...
I know, something you twist a light bulb in or something, yeah.
All right, I have a new language.
Me too. SDFC has FC Dallas that's on the fixture for tomorrow in Dallas.
Kind of like that, actually.
It's not bad. And then the guys are back home next Saturday, July 5th, 7:30, the Houston Dynamo. So that's your next chance to see the new first-place team. All right, let's get to, we don't have traffic at this hour, we do. We do not. But we do have Tony and I's Friar Friday visit with Brian Hoying. Enjoy, because we certainly enjoyed chatting with him.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan. Or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
And indeed, time for our Friar Friday interview, and looking forward to this one. Brian Hoying, the Padres, is our guest today from Cincinnati, which is, I guess, more than a stone's throw from where you played collegiately, Brian, at Louisville. But I imagine you'll have some friends, family driving up to be part of the weekend series. You might have to hand out a ticket or two.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, absolutely. So I grew up in Batesville, Indiana, which is actually about 45 minutes or so west of Cincinnati. And then down went to Louisville, which I think is around an hour and a half. So I'm in that tri-state. I have a lot of familiarity with that tri-state area. And, yeah, of course, definitely going to be handing out some tickets this weekend. I think I got around 20 to 25, at least for me, that I know of, coming each game. And then I'm from a small town, so, we grew up going to Reds games all the time. Like, just a lot of my memories of childhood are at the Reds games, watching those guys play in the 2000s and 2010. So this place, in a way, some kind of feels like home. So it's always been a dream of mine to come back here and play.
It's funny that you mentioned that, Brian, being that you're from Indiana. My parents had a place in Fishers, Indiana. We used to.
Oh, no way.
My dad would literally drive at a 3-game set. He'd stay in Fishers and drive back and forth because, it was a close drive. So I can relate a little bit about driving from Indiana. I want to ask you a little bit about the start to your season. Obviously, you were injured throughout spring training. Was it difficult, just getting to the point of, man, when am I going to be able to get back out on this field and help the guys out in some type of way? Was there frustration as that thing may have taken a little longer than you would have liked?
No doubt, yeah. I think you nailed it. This is something new for me. I've never dealt with a shoulder injury. It's been a while since I've been injured. I've had a lot of clean years in a row. I think the most frustrating part was we kind of had our eyes set on maybe just missing the first month of the year, and then it kind of turned into 2 months, and then we were pushing, almost 3 months. Not that I ever thought it was going to be a straight line getting back to being healthy, but definitely longer than what I envisioned, and I think what, the coaching staff and the training staff envisioned. But nonetheless, they were very communicative with me, and we were always on the same page, and the training staff helped me out a bunch. I'm happy to be back, but, hopefully that's behind us now. We can finish out these last 3 months strong now.
Brian Hoying is with us, our Friar Friday interview from Cincinnati. And, Brian, I don't want to make you go through the injury again, but I'm just curious, because fans probably don't have any idea. A shoulder injury, was this something that happened on a pitch and you went, oh, no? Was this something you woke up one day and it was a little – how did you kind of arrive at this?
Yeah.
And then – because we know how you got out of it with a lot of hard work and the training staff. So where does it begin in that sense?
Yeah, it was like I said, it was strange. I've never dealt with this before. But honestly, it really went back to that first week of the throwing program in the off season when I started throwing in December. After a long year, I took – like I always do, I take some time off to, let my body recover and just build back up from a long season of pitching. And for whatever reason, the first week of throwing in the off season just didn't really feel great. And then, I thought, it's just maybe just a little bit rusty. And so I kept building up. And then I was thinking, at some point, this has got to go away. But I kept feeling it in my shoulder. And I got to a point where it was just this needs to be addressed. Because spring training is coming up around the corner and I'm not where I need to be. Unfortunately, I feel like I did everything I possibly could. I did everything. I rested. I lifted. I took care of my arm. Unfortunately, it's just the way it is, I guess, the way your body kind of reacts. And, so it just lingered on throughout the off season. I tried to push through it, got out to spring training, and once again, tried to push through it. And it was almost a point where, enough's enough. Let's shut down here. Let's get this figured out because we're thinking long-term instead of short-term.
Brian Hoying joins us here, Padre reliever, and he's kind of taking us through the injury and how it came about. Brian, take us through the part where you start to throw and you're getting closer. I would imagine after almost 3 months, you're kind of throwing, you're building up. Is there a point when you get on the mound and you're just like, man, I hope I no longer feel what I was feeling before? How long did it take before you were actually able to just throw the baseball free of thought of the injury that you had been dealing with?
Right. I think what people ask, I think that's more than anything is the mental side of it.
Right.
I was throwing for such a long, an extended period of time where I kept feeling something in my shoulder. And then, that takes a toll. I'm sure you guys have dealt with injury. It takes a toll on you mentally.
Yeah.
And
for sure.
It gets to a point where before you go throw, it's almost like you're expecting to feel something again. And then ultimately, at the end of the day, it just comes down to getting it healthy and then not feeling it again. And then the repetition and more reps of having a healthy shoulder, and then your mind can then freely relax and just tell yourself, okay, it's fine. You don't need to panic. You don't need to search for it. It's good. It's healthy. So I think when I got to that point where I was able to throw without any pain, and then day after day, you know, throw like the next day and be able to throw again, I think that was a big thing too. Is, you know, I could get through the throwing days, but how am I going to wake up the next day and respond? Right. How's the shoulder going to feel? So, like I said, it took a lot of hard work. Like I said, it was some tough days for sure. Being in Arizona, but not with the team and watching these guys play, obviously I want to be out there and help the team win. But you know, we're in a good spot now.
Yeah, Padres reliever Brian Hoang, you did make 10 starts with Miami. Is that something still in the back of your mind, maybe getting an opportunity to do that? It seems like a lot of relief pitchers, well, most relievers at some point were starters. Nobody like grows up as a high school kid as a reliever. So,
right.
Yeah, any thought of that, or are you just too busy to do what you're doing now?
Yeah, I mean, I don't think about it much during the season, but when I do think about, you know, my future, and I think I'd be lying if I said I wouldn't want to be a starter. You know, if the Padres were to approach me, and you know, they brought up the idea, I definitely would be interested in that. Now, with that being said, at the end of the day, whatever they need me to be, that's the role I'm going to pitch at. But I've also seen, you know, I've seen Ting, you know, turn into a, you know, reliever to a starter, and I know Pivetta came up. I think he had a little bit of starts and some bullpen. So I've seen it, and I've seen how the way certain guys have, you know, kind of come out of that relieving role into starters. I'm not saying it's always a successful transition, but you do see those successful stories of bullpen guys going to starters. And I think, you know, I would like to be that one day. But like I said, at the end of the day, whatever I feel like helps the team win, which right now is definitely out of the bullpen, then that's what we're going to roll with.
Brian Hoang joins us here, Padre reliever. And Brian, you talked a little bit about the starting part of it. How much has that helped you kind of be the Swiss Army knife coming out of the bullpen? You can give, you know, two, three innings of work.
Yeah.
You can do the high leverage inning. How much has that been of a kind of a bonus for you as you've had that kind of starting under your belt?
Right. I think it's been huge. I think you can honestly go all the way back to my college days where I did the same thing. I was a starter for some of the year, the 3 years I pitched there, and then some of the years I was a reliever. So that kind of built that foundation of being that so-called Swiss Army knife. And at the end of the day, I typically do a good job of staying healthy. And that's also a big key, is just being able to be healthy, because obviously it's not the best thing for your arm to be bouncing back and forth between, you know, four innings 1 week and then one inning. But if you take care of your work and train them in the weight room, then obviously it puts you in the best position to stay healthy and pitch. And but yeah, I think that's a huge deal. It's just the experience that I've had with it. So,
Brian Hoang, Padres bullpen's been good all year, and it's a lot better now with Brian back. I'm gonna let you go on this one, Brian. We appreciate the time, but I have to ask: you went to Louisville your final year there, I believe, or maybe your first year there. I believe was the last year for one of every Padres' favorite players, Will Smith, the catcher of the Dodgers. He's kind of drawn the ire of some folks in San Diego, but I'm sure you know him pretty well. Tell me something good about Will Smith so I can feel better about this guy.
Oh, I know. Well, don't look at his splits against me. I think he might be hitting 800 off me.
Oh, no.
He's got my number, unfortunately. So funny enough, so 2016 was my freshman year at Louisville, Will's junior year at Louisville. I was actually hurt that year. I sat out that year with Tommy John, so I actually never got to pitch to him in a game, but obviously I was still part of the team, still in the clubhouse, around him all the time, every single day. But, you know, yeah, as him being a Dodger, you might hate to hear this, but he actually is a great guy. He's a down-to-earth guy, humble dude. Like, you know, he's obviously is who he is, and I feel like he's never really changed. The times that I've talked to him up here, just before or after games, he's super humble, asking me how I'm doing. And I'd like to think that's just part of the Louisville culture that, you know, Coach Mack built there. But, man, he's a hell of a player and a better person, I would say.
Yeah, well, he is a hell of a player. And the Padres got to find a way to slow him down, and hopefully you'll have a hand in that down the stretch.
Yep.
Brian, thanks so much for everything. Always good catching up with you. And hope you have a great weekend there in Cincinnati and get to do some fun things in front of your family and friends.
Thanks, Brian.
All right. Thanks for having me, guys.
Brian Hoang getting it done with us, and hopefully getting it done this weekend in Cincinnati. I'm sure the Padres are going to go to him at some point, or somebody at some point. Otherwise, can we honestly expect three straight complete games?
No.
Yeah, something that is no longer a possibility in the major leagues. I did not know, though.
Hey, Padres have had two this year.
Two, right, out of 80. So that's not very good.
Yeah, there's probably two more than other teams.
Some, yeah, you're right. There are other teams that don't have any, probably. Yeah. Here's one thing I did not realize. And Kevin Acey really, you know, he always does a nice job. And I thought today did a good, you know, good story, just kind of wrapping up the first half, looking ahead to the second half and bringing up a lot of, you know, important statistics and things that kind of matter. Here's one thing he brought up that I think matters. How many games out of 80 would you say Jason Adam has appeared in? Just off the top of your head.
Mm.
80 games, how many has he actually come into the game?
I would say 35.
Yeah, 40.
That's
exactly half.
That's crazy.
I know. Jeremiah Estrada, how many do you think he's been in it?
Just under that, 30.
39.
Well, so they basically appeared in the same amount of games.
Adrian Mordejon, how many do you think for him?
Ooh, I'm going to go with 35.
38. So you got 40, 39, and 38. You got Suarez, 35. Matsui, 33. Peralta, 35. One, two, three. I mean, six guys out of that bullpen have already appeared 33 times or more. And Jason Adam is at 40. Now, there was a time, again, in another world where pitchers, Mike Marshall's the most famous one. And if you ever want to see something really strange that doesn't exist anymore, go back and look up a pitcher by the name of Mike Marshall. He pitched for the Dodgers in the early to mid 70s. He pitched for some other teams, but he gained most of his fame with the Dodgers. Now, there was an outfielder the Dodgers had also by the name of Mike Marshall a little later. He was a pretty good slugging outfielder, but I'm talking about the pitcher Mike Marshall. He set a record in 1974. Mike Marshall appeared in 106 games that year.
Whoa.
106. And he won the Cy Young Award out of the bullpen with 15 wins and 21 saves. And pretty much what happened is he pitched over 200 innings out of the bullpen. And pretty much what happened was the Dodgers would get to the sixth or seventh inning, and then Marshall would come in almost every game. He was in 80, let me see how many games. Where'd it go? Oh, no, I just said 106, right. 106 games. So way more than half.
Yes.
But that seems like no one would ever touch that again. Well, Jason Adam isn't going to get that many. But are we going to, you know, is he going to still be good in his 80th appearance of the year?
Well, I guess we can't really complain because we always talk about how pitchers don't pitch, and now he's going 80 games and we're like, is that too many?
Well, here's my thing. We can't complain about the guys in the bullpen pitching too much. They pitch all the time. The question that I have for the Padres, and that's why Darvish and King coming back is so imperative, because we need to get some six or seven inning performances so that Adam doesn't have to pitch every other game. And honestly, you know, we heard from Mike Schilt earlier, but even if Darvish comes back, he's not going to be pitching more than five innings.
That's true.
Because they're going to keep an eye on his pitch count.
He will have a pitch count.
Actually, Darvish returning is not going to change that. Michael King could change that. I can't say I'm worried about it, though, too much, because Mike Schilt has the magic touch when it comes to the second half of a season.
He does. We talked
about it yesterday. Four times in his career, Mike Schilt has managed 4 years that he's finished a season, and in every one of them, he's been at least 20 games over 500 down the stretch. At least every time. Last year, the Padres were 43-19 to finish the season.
I think that's a theme.
I hope it's, yeah, as I said yesterday, I don't think that's coincidental.
No.
It would be if it happened twice, but it's happened four times out of four in Mike Schilt's. The one year that you can't really count was the year he managed the Cardinals in the COVID season. That was only 60 games, so there really was no stretch run that year.
Correct.
But every year, he's had a stretch run, twice with the Cardinals, once with the Padres. He's finished, his teams have finished strong. So I got to believe in that, man. I'm leaning on that.
I can lean on that too, Chris.
Leaning on that.
I can lean on it.
All right.
Can we do a legal ID?
Would you please? And then how much longer do we have to go?
3.5 minutes.
3.5 more minutes are coming up. Don't miss it after
we don't have anything planned. It could get wild.
After the legal ID, stick around here.
KWFN and KWFN HD1 San Diego.
This is Xander Bogaerts. The Chargers play here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
And the Padres in front.
And Odyssey Sports Station.
And by the way, Xander Bogaerts is back in the lineup tonight. Missed the last game with a bit of a shoulder injury. All right, so we got 3 minutes left. I want to tell you stories that I think are worthy of this 3 minutes. Let's go with...
Which weird one are you going with?
I'm going to go with this one. The NBA draft wrapped up last night. The Lakers got their guy, apparently, in the second round.
Okay.
And why I say it was their guy, the Lakers traded up twice in the second round.
Oh.
They swapped picks with, I think it was Minnesota, then they swapped picks with Chicago. You know,
yeah,
because they really wanted to get up there. And I think it was the third or fourth pick of the second round. And they selected Adu Thierro or Thierro from Arkansas.
Okay.
Okay. 36th overall pick. Now, you and I had some fun with this, but I'm going to let everybody else in on it.
Yeah.
Thierro. Is 6'6", 218. That's neither here nor there, but he's kind of a tweener a little bit. Is he a guard? Is he a forward?
Nobody
knows.
Is
he a power forward? But here's the analysis, and this is where I think it gets kind of comical. Strength of Adu Thierro. He is perhaps the most explosive player in the draft.
Wow.
And I was like, whoa. The Lakers got something here.
Why did he go in so late in the draft?
Your point is that, exactly. If he's that great, it goes on to say, he's an event creator defensively. Not quite sure what that means. He's also a significant mismatch attacking the basket in a straight line, and he draws fouls in bunches. He also finishes around the rim in highlight reel fashion. Why did they even take Cooper Flagg over this guy?
I don't know.
If those are the, you know, things they're saying about him.
The only thing I can think of is that they really think that they can develop him into a superstar.
I mean, but it sounds like he already is if you read that. But,
Tyler says, event creator, does he plan birthday parties?
I know. I don't even know what that is, Tyler. I don't even know what that is.
I think what they're saying is that he creates... defensive stops.
Okay. Well, he's great on defense. He attacks the rim. He finishes in highlight reel fashion. He's the most explosive player in the draft. Yet 35 guys were taken ahead of him. Here's why. You go to the weaknesses. He struggles to make shots.
Whoa.
Whoops.
What? That's kind of an important thing.
I believe that's one of the points of the game.
He struggles to make shots?
There you have it. So...
What?
That's the Laker guy, Adu Thierro.
That's like
We're gonna draft
Scrape even though he stinks.
Well, he doesn't stink. He's
oh no. Even though he can't run a board, we're still gonna draft
him. He's a lot of very good things. He just can't shoot. So good luck to the Lakers on that one.
That's insane.
By the way, we have a second. So let me congratulate one of our favorites around here, Lamont Butler. Signed a free agent contract today with the Atlanta Hawks. And I don't know anybody here that doesn't wish Lamont Butler well.
No, he's great.
I mean, and he shocked everybody throughout his career to get to this point. Maybe he shocks them in the NBA and gets on the Hawks. I hope he does. All right, stick around. Sammy's next, pregame. We're back Monday. Make a quick note of this if you remember. Little change in the schedule. We'll be on at 10 a.m. Monday. We'll explain it all when we see you then. For Scraby, Tony, have a good weekend.